Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla. I am one of your co-hosts, and I am here with my other co-host,
Noah.
I don't know why I introduced it like that, but
I don't know. Sometimes you got to find a way to spice things up.
You know, I just tried to be different, but I don't think it worked. I don't think it didn't give the vibe I was going for.
Every time I try to come up with something different and then it just never happens and I can't think of anything. So maybe I have to prepare more.
Yeah.
Or we have to change the intro or something. I don't know.
I like the intro.
No, it's a good intro. Now I think we can say it's officially 2022. Because last week we did a review of Hawkeye, which technically that was 2022. But, you know, it didn't feel like a real one. You know, now we're fully in the year.
Sure.
More than a week in now. How's the new year going for you?
You know, not much has changed.
Truly.
It's been snowing a lot here this past week, which has been exciting. Because we didn't get any snow here in December. It was like 60 degrees all December, essentially. And then all of a sudden, like, it was 60 degrees one day. And then the next, like, literally the next day, it snowed like 6 inches or something. And was like 20 degrees. So it was kind of crazy.
It's almost like it's winter.
Almost like climate change is real.
Wow. Almost like Adam McKay was right. Man, that could be taken both ways. No one knows if I liked it or disliked it from that comment, you know. And that's the way I like it. I like to be ambiguous. Episode will be looking back at 2021, the good and the bad, and also looking ahead to 2022, the good and the bad. It's our wrap up, our recap, and also our look forward, which is an episode I look forward to every year. You know, I think it's fun to talk about what we thought this year was going to be or this past year was going to be and then what it actually was, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fun episode. Before we get to that, we have two things we want to just get to quickly. The first is both of us now have published one blog post on the website, on our website. So go and read those.
Only took about 5 months, but we got there.
We got one each, and maybe we'll get one each in this year, you know?
Yeah, I think in the next month we'll have another one.
I don't know. I don't know if we should promise anything, but we could say that could be a hope.
It's
that
a prediction. It's a prediction.
Okay, a prediction for ourselves that we have the power to make true.
Yeah.
No, but they're both good and both pretty different, so I would definitely recommend everyone go check them out and check out the website because I think not many people know we have a website, so it's in the links.
It's very
in
fun.
The episode show notes. It's a fun website. We're just kind of
fun little
people.
Website. I designed it myself. There's little cute pictures of us with descriptions.
Little bios.
Yeah, you can read a little bio.
Oh my goodness. Go check those out. One on Spider-Man, one on a more existential of like the state of movies, you know, which are very much our personalities, I feel like.
Yes,
they pretty
much
match.
You hit the like the research, the I'm gonna make a point here, and mine was like the emotional, personal, sensitive piece.
And that's why we make good co-hosts.
That's why,
you know,
we work well together.
The emotion and the information. That should be our new tagline.
Hey, both things are important.
They are. They truly are. And the other thing we want to do quickly is get the answers to last week's question of the week, which was, what is your favorite Disney Plus Marvel show from 2021? So this can be any of the 5 shows they released, even What if that was your thing. And we got 6 answers, you know, which is good. I think 6 answers is like a good average right now for me.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'll take 6.
I mean, even 1 answer is good, but 6 is like 6 times is good.
Yeah, that's true. One of the answers we actually got on Spotify, because if you don't know, if you listen on Spotify, we post the question on our Spotify episode as well, so you can also answer there if that's what you want to do. And we did get an answer from Bella our good friend who was on our Slumber Party Massacre episode.
Aww.
And she said that Hawkeye is so good. Haley Steinfeld is chef's kiss. She's so awesome. I would say that's my favorite so far. And she also mentioned the inclusion of ASL is wonderful, which we didn't even mention in the episode, but I would agree that it is a cool addition for sure. And I think I agree. I mean, it's not, I would say it's not my favorite, but I definitely understand why it is, you know, and I think it's very good. So that is a cool one. And then we've got a couple WandaVision shout outs here. One from Zach Smith Michaels, who said this, the only one he finished was WandaVision. So I guess that would be it, you know, that would be his favorite.
And then Bryce from After Credits Podcast said he hasn't seen Hawkeye yet, but he thinks Loki is probably his favorite. And Dan, who we has answered before, has also said Loki, and it ain't close.
Wow. I wouldn't go that far. I'd say it's close-ish, but Loki is my favorite.
And none for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So I think everybody is right on track there.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone is pretty locked as that as the bottom. And for the other three, it's just like what you liked more, you know, because they're so different. So yeah, I know What If though as well, you know, because that was also
an option,
but we didn't get that. So thank you to everyone who answered, and at the end of this episode we will have another question that feel free to answer, everyone, and we will read your answers to them at the opening of the next. But let's jump into the episode here. Let's get right into it, which is talking about our expectations at the beginning of 2021. Which we both listened to our episode last year where we looked ahead to 2021. And these were the movies we were looking forward to. I think would be fun is if I read your list and then you read my list.
Sure.
So like so here's your list for what you were looking forward to in 2021, all right?
Yeah. Okay.
First up is Last Night in Soho,
which I did not see.
All right. Next is The French Dispatch.
I did see it, and I did like it.
Okay. Judas and the Black Messiah.
I did not see.
All right. And you also didn't see Bergman Island, so we'll get out of the way. We have Raya and the Last Dragon and Shang-Chi.
Yeah. I didn't like either of those. So.
Yeah, we both did episodes on them. We did on both of them. Another Disney movie, Luca.
Oh, loved it. I did love Luca. Which makes sense because in the episode, I said I was very, very excited for Luca. My exact quote was, I am so excited. And we both were pleased with Luca.
Yes. Yes. We will talk about Luca more later. But yeah.
Yeah. And I also said in the episode that I was very not excited for Black Widow, but I was excited for Shang-Chi and for Eternals. And then I ended up liking Black Widow more than I liked both of those movies, I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think neither of us, I don't think I would have predicted that. I don't think most people agree anyway, at least with Shang-Chi, you know. So we have not a popular opinion. Now you also have Supernova here, which you saw pretty early on last year.
I did, it came out in January. It was fine.
And then we also have the Velvet Underground documentary, which you liked, right?
I did. It was very good.
Very nice. Very nice.
Let's see. You had Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah, I liked it.
French Exit.
I didn't see this. I probably never will. It kind of just dropped. I dropped it.
Dune, of course.
Yes, of course. Love.
Which, when we talked about this one in the episode, we said that we were both going to read the book before it came out.
I read it.
I did not. But I explicitly said, I'm going to read it before the movie comes out.
You did. You also said, though, you weren't very excited for it. So.
I think I just, like, the buildup was so long, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just took so long for it to come out. But I did say my quote about it was, Timmy is in it. And I think when I finished it and we did the episode, that was also what I said.
That was your quote.
Wow, Timmy. Love him.
That goes on the back of the Blu-ray.
Timmy! Exclamation point. Right, I would wear a shirt that says, like, I don't know, Dune on the front, and it's like some kind of Dune thing, and then the back just says Timmy is in it.
Would you wear a Dune Your Mom shirt?
I would, yeah.
I would wear that shirt.
The Beatles documentary.
Yeah, which I've seen 2 episodes of. It's working my way through it.
I haven't started it yet.
But it's good. It's good.
The Northmen, which...
Yeah, that's coming out this year now. Yeah. Which it's going to be on my anticipated list because that trailer was awesome. But yeah.
The Green Knight and Candyman. Mm. Those were 2 summer movies that got postponed.
Both of those were not my favorite. I like The Green Knight a little bit more. Probably a decent amount more. But both of them kind of didn't live up to what I hoped they would be. But I know a lot of people like both of those, like different groups of people. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. No Time to Die, which we were still at the time not sure if it was even going to release this year, but it did. You saw it, right?
I did see it. It sure wasn't a time to die. I'll give it that. No, I think it was okay. I really think the third act was pretty bad, but it was good. It was fun.
And then you had fun summer movies, Black Widow, Godzilla vs. Kong, Ghostbusters, which didn't come out until October. In the Heights, Top Gun 2, which didn't come out. You have new Space Jam on here. How do you feel about that one?
Yeah. Not a great moment for me looking back. And I also have Suicide Squad, which out of all of these, I really only liked Black Widow, I will say.
Did you see Godzilla versus Kong?
I did on HBO Max. It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't very good. You know, one of those. Like, and I'll never watch it again. And it was not very memorable. Not sounding good actually right now for me reviewing it. But yeah, the only one I really enjoyed was Black Widow. So looks like there were actually not fun summer movies for me, but it's fine.
Yeah, but like looking at these lists, not a lot of our, like what we wanted ended up being our favorites. I mean, apart from like Luca and French Dispatch and maybe Dune.
And I think too, it's like, I mean, the Paul Thomas Anderson Licorice Pizza, that one was like in development, but I think that one was really like unknown when that would come out. So that one might have made it on.
Yeah. It's so hard at the beginning of the year.
It is hard. And I mean, you know, like The Card Counter, that could have been one. Like, I know that's one that was out on top of people's list, but it just wasn't one that I personally loved, or The Green Knight even, you know, so it all just depends on what you feeling. I mean, I didn't hate The Card Counter, but it just didn't make the top 10, you know?
Right.
But going through some of our 2021 Letterboxd stats, which is always a fun time, we both watched less movies this year, I'm pretty sure, than last.
I watched
which makes sense.
Considerably less. Like, I watched, like, over 200 hours less. I mean, like...
Well, how many did you watch, then?
I watched 300... I logged 333... So that includes short films and feature length. Right. And the year before it was like almost over 500.
Yeah, we were at the over 500 range, both of us.
Yeah, I watched a lot more TV this year than I like have before. Like I watched a lot of TV and I was working a lot more too, because obviously with COVID, there was a whole chunk of like over 5 months that I wasn't working at all, I think. And so obviously that, you know, kind of changed my schedule when I was actually like back to work.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in same for me, like half of 2020, we were just inside, or even more than half probably, you know. And for this year, while there was still like lockdown stuff happening and pandemic stuff happening, it was significantly less or significantly different, especially in the summer. And so it was a much more normal year, I guess, in terms of how many I got to watch, but which was still like, I'm still happy with how many I got to watch, because I think I was more, not strategic, but like I got to watch everything I wanted to. You know, last year sometimes felt like, am I just watching this because I just don't have anything else to do? But this year I was pretty happy with the ones I got in. I got 398 diary entries on Letterboxd, which include short films. And then if I filter it, it's 366. One above one of it for every day, because 366 is wow. one more than 365, you know?
Yeah, I logged 285 feature length and mm-hmm. 32 short films.
Yeah, yeah. So again, we definitely less, but I made it to my over 7.7 I got as my average, and that was my goal, just to get a 7 average, and I got
My average was 6.4.
That's pretty good. I know a lot of people that are a lot low that didn't get that, so you know. I think it was both a different year for us, obviously, for everyone, but I think it was a good year in terms of what I have personally got in. What was the day? What about this? Well, because I know you rewatch stuff a lot more than me. So what was your most watched movie?
Wow, what a surprise. My most watched movie was Knives Out. I only watched it 3 times this year, though. I tried to dial it back a little bit.
Nice. All right.
And then that was it. I didn't obsessively rewatch stuff as much last year, which probably helped with the numbers being down more. Because the year prior, I obsessively rewatched a few things. Everything else is just twice that I rewatch something.
Yeah. I like usual, all mine are just twice because I don't rewatch things 3 times in a year pretty often.
Yeah.
Do you want to just jump into our top 10 then?
You want to share your most watched day?
Oh, sure.
Because I know we've done that.
This year was Wednesday.
Mine, for the first time, was not Tuesday.
Okay.
It was, in fact, Saturday. And Tuesday ended up being the lowest.
Oh, wow.
All the days.
Tuesday.
So,
taking
I don't
the
know.
L this year.
I don't know what happened, but it changed.
Tuesday was holding the torch for so long, and then it just finally enough, Friday was my lowest day, I think, actually, because I usually work early Saturday morning, and so Friday, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to watch something tonight because I have to wake up early tomorrow, so that might be why. It's interesting looking at these and then thinking like, oh yeah, I did watch a lot that day because the next day had something, so interesting always for me to look at stats. I love That's one of my favorite parts of Letterboxd is just all the random stats. Our top 10 then is going, it's going to be not a definitive top 10 because we both have movies we haven't seen, obviously, like some of the bigger ones of the award season, like Drive My Car, which who knows when that's coming, The Worst Person in the World, stuff like that. And then you have a couple others that you haven't seen as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen quite a lot of any kind of art house indie film. So I've missed Come On, Come On, Licorice Pizza, like you said, Drive My Car. There's quite a few others that just haven't had any sort of wide release yet. So maybe check my ranking in like a month or two and see how much it changes once I can
see what's happening.
Finally watch some of those.
But, I mean, it might be cool because we'll have different lists.
Yeah.
And maybe some people listening will hear some new things that they want to check out, you know? So do you want me to start then? We'll go 10 through 6 and then 5 through 1 like we did last year.
Go ahead.
And just go down the list. So my number 10 is Pig, which I thought was a great movie. It was definitely early on when I watched it. It was definitely like in my top 5 at that point because it was an earlier watch, but it was one of the first movies I saw from 2021 that I was like, man, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
And I still definitely think that. I want to rewatch it. It was a lot different than I was expecting. I expected it to be almost like a First Cow kind of thing, which I liked First Cow, but it kind of, those kind of movies, I get bored sometimes. Sorry. But this one was a lot more like exciting than I think I went in expecting, you know? So that was a very welcome, I think it was sometimes even like the excitement of that, like, oh man, there actually, stuff is happening in this movie. So I think that it was a very good movie, great Nicolas Cage performance, and something that we don't get a lot of, this kind of movie. So definitely recommend it. I think it's on Hulu, so that's great. Number 9 is like the weirdest one in my top 10. Is Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage. This is a documentary that came out on HBO Max over the summer, I believe. And this is definitely not a documentary I normally love. because it's pretty traditional. Like, it uses a lot of archival footage, which I always appreciate. But it does have a lot of talking head interviews, which isn't always my thing. Sometimes I prefer things that are a little more narrative driven, you know? But I really think, like, the way they use the interviews in this worked well in tandem with the footage and helped provide the context it needed and stuff. It just, like, the way that the documentary was positioned, which was looking back on this festival and then what it means for, like, how we can relate it to what we're in, like, the current situation we're in now, you know, which is always some of my favorite kind of documentaries in that way, is looking at the small event and seeing how does this reflect our current world. So, very good documentary. Again, would obviously highly recommend it. It's very engaging, which is something I really need in documentaries, is them to keep it engaging. Number 8 for me is Spencer, which I don't know when I found out about this movie. It definitely was in 2021, because I feel like it was all of a sudden just a big deal during festivals, I think. And I was very excited when I found out it was coming to theaters near me, because I was looking forward to it. And it definitely delivered. I'm not a huge royal family person. Like, I never really like many, even like stuff like Downton Abbey. Like, I just don't like that kind of style.
Sure.
And so I thought that that's what this was going to be. And so I was a little nervous going in, but it's a lot different than that. And I think a lot of people were kind of mad about that. Like, oh, it's not like The Crown, but like, it's, you already have The Crown. Why do you want The Crown again? So I really liked the direction that they took this in, making it more of a character study than a historical document. And it has one of my favorite scenes of the year and also probably my favorite needle drop of the year. Yeah, this is definitely a good movie. I hope it gets some awards recognition, which I think it looks like it will. So
yeah, I mean, she's leading right now, so.
Yeah, I think she has a good chance of winning, which I know, again, some people are not happy with, and I'm like, why? I don't understand. It was great.
They don't like her. I don't know why. I think she's amazing. I think she's awesome. Yeah. We stan.
She is very, yeah. I'll be rooting for her in the awards this year. Actually, maybe take that back, because I might be rooting for the lead actress of my number 7, which is Licorice Pizza, which I actually think I like Alana Haim's performance more. But obviously, Kristen Stewart is great too. So it's like, you can take whatever one you want. This was maybe, going into it, my most anticipated movie of the year, because it's pretty much like my favorite kind of movie is like these either kind of hangout movies or movies that take place in the 60s, 70s in the summer over with a great soundtrack. And it's basically Boogie Nights, you know, it's the same thing. And it was great. I love this movie. There's a lot to unpack with it, more than I think you would think about on first watch, or maybe initially after you finish it. After you finish it, it's like, oh, that was a good movie, like a nice compact story. But there's a lot more layers, which I think is why it's probably going to be the one that the Academy decides to recognize, because they usually recognize the more, like, of big directors, they usually take the movie that's the more tamed down version, but also has a lot of stuff underneath. So they're never going to recognize, like, the master in this way. But this one is, like, it's on the surface more tame, you know? But there's a lot going on underneath when you dig in that I think makes it even better. So this is very good, and I'm not talking about any of the discourse, because, no, nothing. And then number 6... is one I was expecting to like, but not this much. This is West Side Story, which is just one of the movie events of the year, really. It was just so good. There's not really much I can say. It's just like a perfect movie musical. I think that it was a shame that this didn't make a lot of money at the box office. It's very sad. Really, and I think the Rollies obviously heard it too, which is Disney's fault, because they own both of these movies, and they really messed up by releasing this Nightmare Alley and Spider-Man No Way Home like at the same time.
Yeah.
Bad move. A little annoying there, but it's a great movie, and I'm excited for more people to see it when it gets to streaming.
Sure. Okay, is it me now?
It's you.
My 10 through 6.
Yes.
So my number 10, which I finished an hour ago, is Spencer. I needed a number 10, and I had like a couple that I thought could hit my number 10, and I was like, all right, I gotta just pick one of these three and make the gamble and hope that it's gonna break the top 10. And it did.
Well, because you've seen more than 10, but it's like you wanted a better one for
your
10.
I wanted all my 10 to at least be 4 stars or above. And so this was my sealed deal for me. It was really good. I feel like there's not much I can say that really adds to the conversation that hasn't already been said, but mm-hmm. I liked it, and I like Diana, and she's a fashion icon, and Kristen Stewart is awesome and works well as Diana. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, she does.
Number 9 is Tick, Tick, Boom, which I enjoyed, and I love Andrew Garfield. Obviously, and the music is good. Most of the music is good. This is actually one of the only ones that I ended up like having a rewatch of because everything else was either like a theater release or I just didn't want to like wasn't like rewatchable, you know? It's not the kind of, this is the kind of movie that like you can rewatch more because I feel like it is a musical. It's easier to like rewatch and just like listen to the music and engage with it. My number 8 is called Mixtape.
the Netflix original?
It's a Netflix original kids movie. I would say it kind of is like, I don't know, a mix of like a Disney Channel original movie, but like maybe a little bit more elevated. Maybe like that combined with like School of Rock is what this movie is.
Interesting.
The main girl... her parents died when she was young, and they were, like, had her when they were really young, and they were, like, rock people. They were into rock music and stuff, and writing music and singing, and she finds a mixtape of theirs, but it's a cassette tape, and so when she tries to play it, it, like, breaks, and all the tape comes out, and then so she goes into a record store and meets the dude who owns it, and is like... I need help finding these songs. And so she kind of meets a couple friends along the way, one of them who's like really into rock music, and she gets like introduced to rock and kind of becomes, you know, cool, quote unquote. But it was cute. It's this journey of her just trying to like become closer to her parents through discovering the music that they liked,
right.
Which I thought was very sweet. I cried.
I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's basically that, but for kids, like little kids. No, it's good. If you're like into that kind of kids movie, I would recommend watching it because it was good. Number 7 is Becoming Cousteau, which is a documentary that was on Disney Plus, produced by National Geographic, which was really good. And, like, if you've seen Life Aquatic, it, like, is fun because Life Aquatic pulls from his life, too.
Right.
And he was a filmmaker, and so they have, like, this insane amount of, like, archival footage that they used in it that was, like, gorgeous footage. Like, I just couldn't believe how good all the footage looked that they used. And he was just a really interesting person to learn about. It was really interesting hearing him because he obviously was not like he was a ocean conservationist and stuff in not this time, not this decade, in previous decades. But it was interesting to hear him talk about climate change and the oceans and stuff. And at that time being like, if we don't change stuff now, we will never be able to turn back. And I'm looking at it like, oh God, it's been like over 30 years since then. Oh no. but yeah, I had known who he was, but I had no idea the like actual impact that he had in conservational ocean research and stuff. And so that was really cool to kind of learn about him, and it just is like beautiful. And then my number 6 is Dune. our good old Dunk. Yeah, it's got Timmy in it.
It does.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything else about that. We talked about it in an episode.
Yeah, we did in our October movies one. Going into my 5 through 1, that's a great transition because my number 5 is Dune. So
wow,
there we go.
What do you know?
Yeah, this is a great movie. I think one of the ones that will like be attached to 2021 for me because it was like a very big movie moment for 2021. So love it. Number 4 is The Last Duel, which is another one that just didn't get a lot of love at the theater and no one saw. And I think it's just finally coming to streaming. And so I'm interested to see what people think about it when more people get to watch it, because it got mixed reviews. I think people that saw it generally liked it, but then I've actually been seeing more people recently on Twitter who are now watching it for the first time and are like, wow, why didn't no one talk about this when it came out? Because this is so good. And I agree. It's a great movie. One of the most riveting movies for me of the year, especially the final battle climax.
The last duel.
Especially the last duel was a great duel. One of the top 10 duels from The Last Duel. My number 3 is Luca, which we have an episode on and we've talked about pretty at length, I feel like, on the pod. This is probably my favorite Pixar film in a long, long time. I'm sure I could look at my ranked and figure out exactly when the last one was. But I think it is a great one because it especially brings it back to what I think was great about Pixar, which are simpler stories that can be existential or have deeper themes on below, but also on the surface are just like also a fun movie, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than you have to understand the deep themes to get it at all. Which I think is where they were headed, or maybe still are headed.
Or
you know?
Crafting scenes specifically to be deep and like tearjerker scenes.
Right. Which, you know, there's some scenes in here that are obviously trying to get some cries, but it's more like baked in the emotion of the story rather than like,
remember, it doesn't feel as heavy
that you're not a kid anymore and you're sad, right? You're sad that you're going to die. Like, okay, settle down. Thank you. Yeah, so that's my number 3. My number 2 is Inside, which I don't know like what the consensus is on, like, is this a movie or is this not a movie? I don't really care. This is another movie that I think, look, if I look back on 2021, it's going to be one of the landmarks, especially like around the summer. Yeah, this is just a great film. I know it's been memed at this point and is like to the point of like it's a joke if you like it, but you know, that means it's good if it's gotten to that point, in my opinion. You know, great music, great movie.
Yeah, we're here for it.
And I really do think, I honestly think that, like, everyone was saying, like he's a rich person making a movie about the pandemic. And I don't actually think this movie is about the pandemic. Like, it is, but I don't think it really is. If you watch it, try to think a little deeper than, like, the surface a little bit, because it's not really about the pandemic. It's more about isolation in general. And the internet, which is a lot bigger of a topic that has been going on before the pandemic. So yeah, it's very good. And then my number 1, at least for now, because we haven't seen everything, but this is Titan, which is a crazy movie. And it's, I think, even better now that like the Oscars is completely ignoring it. Just like, it makes it so much even funnier just because they want nothing to do with this movie. And it's definitely not one for everyone. I know a lot of people that dislike it quite a bit, which is fine, you know, but I think it's a kind of movie that we rarely, I mean, this specific kind of movie, we've really never had a story like this that's about this. But even just in general, like the style, it's a movie we rarely get maybe every few years, you know, and I think that that's a special thing that I'm glad I got to see in the theater, especially because this was like a great theater experience, even though there wasn't a ton of people, but there was like enough people. Even if there's one person in the theater, there's stuff in this movie that you're going to be like, dang, I really wonder what this other person is thinking of me that I'm also in the theater with them, which is something that you only get if you watch movies in the theater. Yeah, that is my top 10 for the year so far.
Wow. Thank you for sharing.
Wow. Yes, of course.
My number five is The French Dispatch, which I thought was fun. I laughed at it a lot, which I feel like I haven't had a theater experience where I've been able to just like loosely laugh at something in a while. So I enjoyed that experience of like watching it with other people and laughing at stuff that was happening. My number four is Beans, which I think technically like did a festival run in like 2020 and then kind of had its U.S. like wider release in 2021, I guess.
With the pandemic and stuff, it's like, who even knows at this point what's a 2021 movie? I don't know.
Yeah, but this is about, it's a coming of age film about a girl, an indigenous girl who is living during these like, it's like an uprising, I guess, during in Canada and Quebec, that was like a really long, it lasted I think like 70 days or something in the 90s, and it's basically her perspective, like her dad is protesting and all this stuff is happening, and it's sort of her, you're seeing it through her eyes and how she is like having to grow up really fast by basically experiencing all these things. And the main young actress is like really, really good. She's going to be playing in the new Avatar series.
Wow.
So that is very exciting. So I can be like, oh, I knew her in Beans first.
I knew her before she was famous.
No, but it's really, really good. And I would definitely recommend like renting it. This is one that I think everyone should put on their list if they haven't had a chance to see it, because it is that good. My number three is the same as yours, which is Luca, which had been my number one until the last like 2 weeks of December, which is pretty crazy.
It really got dethroned pretty fast.
But I loved Luca. I watched it more than once, twice this year. And the soundtrack was my most streamed thing on Spotify.
Of anything, not even just soundtrack.
Of anything. He was my top artist because I streamed the score so much this year.
Single-handedly giving him a whole dollar.
Yes. I love Luca. My number two is Spider-Man No Way Home. I have no shame and no regret in this. Maybe 5 years down the road, I'll be like,
contributing to the death of
what
cinema.
What was I thinking? I don't know, but I loved it, and I don't care what anyone says. It's my number two. And don't worry, I have a more film.
Yeah, what's funny is like your number one is like a very pretentious, like no one has seen this, and then number two is like the biggest movie ever made.
Hey, I gotta please
the
them
three
all.
Is just three is just Luca. A really diverse top three.
Super. So my number one is Operation Hyacinth, which is kind of funny because I like had been looking for 2021 movies to kind of watch and making a list on Letterboxd. And this is one that Robert Daniels had watched and given 4 stars. And I was like, well, if he gave it 4 stars, that means it's got to be, like, fairly decent, at least. And it was a higher rated of the year, and it was on Netflix. So I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to throw this one on. And that was exactly what happened with Verona, too, as well, the previous year.
Which was your number one last year, yeah.
So this movie, it's set in the 80s in Poland, and basically it focuses on this guy who is like an officer, or like detective kind of person. And there is like, at that time it was like basically illegal to be gay. And so this gay man was like murdered. And the police were kind of just, like, trying to cover it up. And then the whole movie is he's like, well, like, shouldn't we actually be trying to find them? Like, they kind of just pinned it on someone else and were covering it up. And he wanted to find the truth. And so it's kind of about him, uncovering the truth, but also like figuring out his own identity. And it's just like very interesting. The cinematography is really, really good. It's all like really dark noir type vibes. And he's the only cop that is allowed to be a cop, I say. Because he leaves the force, not to spoil it, but he's someone who actually like was fighting against.
Love to see it.
It's really good. I definitely would recommend people who are into like foreign films or into like this kind of crime drama sort of to put this on their lists to watch, because it definitely is underrated, and I think more people should be talking about it, and like more people should have watched it, and maybe like Netflix should have done a better job at like putting it on the main page and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about it till you
really good it. And it's based on like true elements, like the stuff that is happening, like the historical setting and everything.
Yeah.
And they tried to like, I was reading about it, and they tried to make it very true to the time. Like everywhere they were shooting, they were trying to shoot like places that looked very 80s, you know, communist Poland, and make it a certain way, which, yeah, it's a very, very good movie. It was one of 2 5 stars for me this year of
that. And Spider-Man No Way Home.
That and Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah. I had no 5 stars. So, yeah, you know, it could change.
It could.
You never know. But now we'll move into what we call a few movies from 2021 that were pretty good, but not the best, / missed the top 10 cut. Which this year was actually a lot harder, because I think that, unlike last year, which I think was pretty... Like, there was a lot of movies that I just enjoyed last year.
Yeah.
I think in the episode I said my top 40, which I cannot say for this year.
I wrote that down when I listened to it, because I was like, there is no way I would recommend my top 40 movies.
Yeah. It really drops off hard for me after, like, 20-ish, 25, you know?
Yeah, like, my number 40 is Peter Rabbit 2. And... I just don't know that I would recommend that to people.
Funnily enough, my number 40 is Bergman Island, but I actually didn't like that. So it's like, it sounds like my number top 40 is good, but I just put that lower than a lot of people put it. Like, it's below, like, the first Fear Street movie, all right? So, and Jungle Cruise. So, yeah, this was a lot harder, and for that reason, I took some more that were just, like, missed the top 10 cut, you know? I took one from like the 20s, I think, but last year I was taking ones from like the 30s and 40s, but this year it was a little harder to find ones. But I think we both have a very diverse list. At least you do from me. So we've got some good, hopefully in these 8, some good recs. We'll go faster through these, cause we want to make sure we can get through the episode without getting this to 5 hours.
Yeah.
But my first one I'll talk about is Coda, which just missed the top 10. It's number 11. And so that's why I want to talk about it, because I want to make sure we got it in there, which is kind of getting overlooked at this point. I think kind of because it's also on Apple TV Plus, which is just at this point where movies go to die. Like, does anyone know that it exists besides for Ted Lasso? Not sure. But I think that this movie is starting to get a little bit more Oscar buzz now. It's going down, but maybe a little bit more. So hopefully it gets maybe one nomination, so people decide to check it out. Because I really think like it is a very basic Sundance movie, but I think it's it does it very well. So that's, what more could you want? Do we go back and forth on these, or do we just go through the list?
I don't know. We can just go through them or go back and forth.
Let's go back and forth. Let's see from Coda to your first one.
Which is Arlo the Alligator Boy.
Another Sundance classic.
This was a Netflix animated movie about an alligator boy named Arlo, who's half human, half alligator, and he wants to find his father. So he leaves the swamp, and it's a musical, and then he picks up this bandwagon of friends along the way to find his father. It's very heartwarming. It's cute. I watched it and I was like, oh, wow. So if you're into that kind of thing, it's
good. Sounds a lot like another animated movie with a character named Arlo, which is the good dinosaur. But, you know, who's to say that maybe they never watched it. My next one I'm going to talk about is Cruella, which I'm just going to go to bat for this movie, I guess, over and over, because it's in my the 20s. And I think that it is partially, I think I had a really good theater experience with this one, which always helps. But I think this is just a really fun movie. And like I said, I think on my Instagram story when I was talking about different movies, like the first Disney live action pseudo remake they've done that actually has had like an artistic style and vision behind it. And so I can respect that. And I think, again, it's a very fun movie.
It is fun.
I had a lot of fun watching
this. That was my first movie back in the theater after everything was shut down for a long time. My second one is, I mean, hey, I couldn't miss an opportunity to talk about a Hallmark movie. And since I don't include Hallmark, like, TV movies in my rankings, my official rankings.
If you did, you'd have, like, 120 ranked.
Yeah, because I watched, like, 120 feature-length films, but I only ranked, like, almost 70, and I was like, what are all the other movies? And I was like, oh, probably Hallmark movies. I wanted to talk about the one that I personally thought was the best of last year out of the ones that I watched that were released, and that was An Unexpected Christmas, which uses the classic, they were dating, and then they go to the airport, they're both in the same airport, and they had broken up. And they, like, bumped into each other, and he didn't tell his family that they had broken up. And so his sister's coming to pick him up, and she's like, oh, you brought her with you. And they're like, no, no, no. But, like, they couldn't. Then the dad showed up, and he was like, oh, let me get the bags. And so it just kind of spiraled into a whole thing. It was funny.
Truly unexpected.
Yeah, truly an unexpected Christmas. No, I liked it a lot. So that was, I gave 4 stars on the Hallmark scale, you know, like, this 4-star is not the same.
We got to do an episode on the Hallmark scale, I think, just breaking it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. But this was a 4-star Hallmark movie for me. So I had to mention it because.
Yeah. It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun premise. My next movie, it's called Mass, about the father and mother. Two family, father and mother, one who are the parents of a school shooter, and the other ones who are parents of someone that the school shooter killed. That's a very hard way of explaining it. But it's about basically them four in a room just talking for about, I mean, it's 1 hour 40, and I would say they talk for probably like 1 hour 20 of the movie. So it's kind of a play. Pretty much, it's one of those kind of movies where it's like, it could be a play. But I think it actually uses the space of the room in a really smart way, kind of like in a lot more extreme of a way, because it's really one room, is like The Breakfast Club, where I think they use the space in that movie very well, even though it mostly takes place in one room. And yeah, it's a great movie. There is some pacing problems I have, which if they actually weren't in there, it probably would have made my top 10. But I really love the dialogue and the performances. Like, it's really hard to pick a standout from these four. Because for our Secondhand Film Awards, I was trying to think, who of these could I nominate? But I really don't know. Like, maybe I will just put it in Best Ensemble if we nominate it. Because all four of them are, like, really good. Mm. And you don't really get that a lot. Usually there's, like, a standout. But this is, like, a great movie. And I would highly recommend anyone check it out. I think it's available to rent for pretty cheap. Like, the regular rental price, not the $20.
Yeah. Cool. My next one is Words Bubble Up Like Soda Pop, which is an anime that was a Netflix release.
Wow. Anime. Man, a lot of Netflix releases for you this year.
You know, that's where it is for me.
The content is.
I wasn't going to the theater a whole lot, so I kind of just had to watch what was there. Yeah, this one was cute. It's a little, like, relationship story between these two, teenagers, and one writes haiku and he's very shy and he doesn't really like talking. And the girl like finds his journal or something, and she, I think, maybe is like, it's been a while since I watched this. I think she was like an influencer, some kind of influencer. I don't know. It was like a whole thing. But they had like their little social media, and he was like, I can't believe she followed me. And she helped him to be able to like read one of his haikus at a poetry contest. So it was cute. If you're into that style of anime, I thought it was fun.
All right, my last pick here is Nightmare Alley, which I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would. I definitely think the first half is better than the second half. Second half takes a real nosedive for me. It picks up again towards the end, like the ending is good, but the first half is just fantastic. And once they leave the main hub that the first half takes place in, it doesn't have the same vibes, but it's still a great movie, I think. Like, very fun. We don't get a lot of movie stars. Not original story, but it's like based on a novel that's like not a popular novel. And so I would highly recommend people check this out when it comes to streaming, because there's a lot of cool set design pieces, production design. I think the performances are pretty good all around. I think a lot of people have been saying that Bradley Cooper's performance is like not good, but I think it was pretty good.
My opinion is that I think that he did a good job, but I still think that he was miscast. I think that someone else could have played that role better. I don't know who.
You know who was miscast?
Who?
It was Kate Blanchett. Like, what movie was she in?
She was in
like a different movie. She was like, did she get the notes?
Yeah, but I don't think Bradley Cooper did a bad job. I don't agree that he did a bad job, because I have seen that a lot. But I do think that someone else could have done a better job. That's my take on it.
I think that's the biggest thing with the movie, is like, it could have been a lot better in a lot of different places, you know?
Yeah, and I was really excited for that one. And I wasn't like disappointed by any means, because I did think it was a good movie that I enjoyed. But I definitely think there were things about it that I was like, man, this could have been
it was close.
Amazing. And it was so close. It was like one of those on
the
edge.
And that first half was amazing. Like, the first half, I was like, why is everyone giving this like 3 stars? And then for no reason, I mean, obviously it's based on a book, so they have to, but like seemingly for no reason, it just like turns into a completely different story and takes away all the characters that were like the best characters.
Uh-huh.
So not great there, but it's still a fun time. Still a fun movie.
Yeah. Great. So I have Ghostbusters Afterlife here, which was not a great movie, but I felt like when we talked about this in the previous episode, the one thing I said is, I hope that's going to be a fun movie. And that was my only expectation for it, and it fulfilled my expectation. So I feel like I can't, it's not great. It's not maybe even good, but it was fun, and I felt like since we have a podcast, we had to recognize on our podcast, the podcast king himself, podcast, because
podcast.
He sold that movie by the hundreds.
Yeah.
Like, him and McKenna Grace both,
Oh my gosh, if they weren't in it, it'd be awful.
Yeah.
It'd be a terrible
movie. Oh, totally. Everything else that didn't have them in it was not good. But their scenes, iconic. But I just felt like we needed to recognize our guy. He's like, our like podcast mascot.
He can. And this is currently the only movie we have seen together in theaters. So
ever. Yeah.
It is. it is. At this time, it's the only one. So we have to talk about it a little bit. Yeah, I think it was fun. Like, it definitely wasn't my favorite, but it was like right in the middle. It was a middle movie.
Yeah, it was a mid movie for me.
Mid movie. Before we move into the next year, 2022, the last thing we'll do is go over some movies that we watched last year that didn't release last year. So just like any movie that we watched for the first time that we really liked, that was just like another year release. It doesn't have to be 2021. Because, you know, that's mostly what we watch. And even though I watch a lot of like the current year movies I try to keep up with, the majority of movies you watch are not from that year. So there's obviously a lot of stuff that we just don't get to talk on the podcast, and this is what that's for. Just a little bit about each. So my first one, we'll just go through all six of these, so just for the sake of time, because I don't have like a ton to say about all of them. But the first one I have here is The Apartment, which I watched, loved, bought the Blu-ray, watched again, and still loved. So that's the story of that movie for me this year. I watched it twice this year again. It is very good. Next movie is Girlfriends, which I watched on the Criterion channel, and then I bought it during the Criterion sale. I haven't watched the Blu-ray yet, but I'm excited for it. This is a great movie. I think it could be a nice double feature with Francis Ha, you know? I think it would actually work really well. So if anyone wants to give me a double feature programming rights, I have that in my notes app. I wrote it down, and I have like a list of like ideas I have for double, triple features. So I've got ideas. Next one is Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Another one, I don't know where I watched it, but then I got the Criterion the same time as Girlfriends, actually, that same sale. This is another movie that's like right up my alley. It's like the exactly the kind of movie that I like. And it's I knew I was going to like it when I watched it. So it wasn't like a big surprise. But I think this is a very good movie. And Steven Soderbergh is amazing. My number four is Henry Gamble's Birthday Party, which you also have another movie by this director on your list. But this is one we kind of discovered together, Stephen Cohn.
Yeah.
Because he had his three movies, or his three main movies, on the Criterion channel.
Yeah.
And this is the first one I watched, and this is the one that hit the hardest for me. I think this is a very good like indie movie. I really like all-in-one-day movies, or like ensemble movies that take place in a single location, because I think a lot of fun stuff and interesting stuff can happen there. And this is one of those where it's just it's just this birthday party and this kid and then his friends and then the parents, and a lot of stuff happens at the party. And it's like, I don't know. I just really appreciate when a script can do that. And it's very, very good movie. I actually want to watch it again because I haven't seen it in a little bit. My next pick is Better Days, which I watched because it was nominated for Best International Feature at the Oscars last year. And I wanted to watch through all of them. And this was my favorite one, actually. I bought the Blu-ray for this right after I finished it. I think I watched it on like Hoopla. I don't know. It was just like randomly on there.
Hoopla has the goods. They have some random, that's where I watched Morona the first time.
Like, the quality may not be good. Like, they always have, like, 480p crap. But
yeah, it's not ever HD.
But they have stuff sometimes that nowhere else has. And if they're the only place, I'd rather watch it than not watch it, you know? Yeah. I think I watch Network there, too. So they have some good stuff. So this movie, though, very good. I think what's funny is it's technically a very cheesy, like, romance, but to me, it felt very serious. And, like, I don't think I realized that it was supposed to be cheesy until I looked it up afterwards. But I think it was really good. I think it has a lot of good commentary, too, on, like, the school system, especially, like, the testing in schools in China. And, like, basically even just, like, how testing sucks, you know, in general for all, like, even in America, yeah. It sucks. But it's also just like a great romance with like, I don't know, like a Romeo and Juliet vibe. It's very good. It was a great movie. I liked it. And then I also have here Memories of Murder, which everyone knows that's a great movie. I just watched it for the first time this year and they were right. It's a good movie. that's all I gotta say. It's good.
Cool. So my number one that I have here, in no specific order, just what I have here as my number one.
Yeah, same.
Like you said, is a Stephen Cohn movie, but I have The Wise Kids down. I did love Henry Gamble's Birthday Party as well, but I think The Wise Kids was the one that hit more with me personally. Just the way he writes is so good. Like, it's so relaxed so and feels like you're actually immersed in what's happening. Like, it just feels like you're actually watching what's happening, like you're sitting there as a third person. But it's very, like, if you come from a religious background, I think, like, his movies are hard because a lot of the reviews that you read that are people that don't come from a religious background, it's kind of like, I don't get this. This is kind of silly. Yeah.
It seems overblown, but it's not.
Like,
it's
a
not
lot
overblown.
Of the reviews are like, this is like so dramatic. And I'm like, no, this is it. Like, this is my literal childhood put in a movie, which really hit for me on this one specifically. I've been meaning to rewatch it, but it just is, it's a lot emotionally. But
it is a lot.
It's very good. The next one I have is It Happened One Night, which is an old Frank Capra film from the 30s, won Best Picture, Clark Gable. It was fun. I watched it for the other podcast that I work on, Thank the Academy, and I enjoyed it and thought it was fun. And then I have The Escape Artist, which is a movie that apparently, like, no one else in the world has seen. Only 417 people have logged it on Letterboxd. Wow. It was made in 1982. I watched it because it was, like, on HBO Max over the summer, and it was in the, like, leaving, like, last chance section, and I was looking for something to watch that was, like, 90 minutes, and happened to click on it and enjoyed it. It's basically about a kid who's, I believe, like, his dad was an escape artist and died. And so he wants to, like, follow in his footsteps doing kind of these magician techniques and stuff. And then he kind of falls into some trouble with a guy in town who's, like, the mayor's son, and bluffs his way into a police station and out of it and escapes. And it's a whole thing with, like, a chase scene. It was a very nice surprise. I thought it was really fun. There were some really cool, like, cinematography shots in it that surprised me for the caliber of this movie. It's one that I would recommend to people. I don't know where you would watch this.
I looked it up. You can rent it. Pretty a lot of places. I actually just looked it up on Letterboxd, okay. So it is available.
Yeah, this is one that probably not everyone would like, but it's definitely a very, like, chill, throw on and sort of just enjoy type of movie. It's on my list of things that I want to get on VHS because I feel like it would suit that medium very well. My next one is The Long Day Closes, which is a Terrence Davies film. I watched this on Criterion. I've been meaning to watch some of his other films. But it's basically a coming-of-age story of a boy who is sad and trying to figure out who he is. And his, like, happiness and peace is going to the cinema. And so it's kind of like he's dealing with different things in his life at home, at school, but the cinema is, like, where he likes to be. So it's definitely a nice little movie. I mean, not nice, but, like, because it is emotionally heavy, but it's a good movie. And then my number 5 and 6, I finally watched the last couple movies in Miyazaki's filmography that I hadn't watched. So I watched Porco Rosso and Lupin the Third. I also watched Nausicaa, and I think there was maybe one more, which I didn't like as much. But I really liked Porco Rosso. It's right up there in my top couple of his. And I also really enjoyed Lupin the Third, which was his first film. So it was it was nice to be able to watch those.
Yeah, round out the filmography there. Very nice.
Shout out to HBO Max.
Yeah, right. That it's really, like, you forget, like, that they weren't available
if
anywhere.
If their interface wasn't so bad, they would be the best. They have the best overall selection.
They have the best library. Easily my favorite right now. I mean, Criterion Channel is great too, but I feel like if I had to pick one forever, like, HBO Max has a great mix, you know?
It's very diverse.
They do have some older stuff. Yeah. But again, the interface is bad, and also, like, the categories and the discovery is awful there too.
Yeah.
So they just got to get that worked out. But let's move quickly into an ad break. And then when we come back, we will talk about what we're looking forward to in 2022.
We're back.
We are into 2022 and talking about the movies we're excited for in this year, which is different than last year because there last year was like 2020 part two. And this year is pretty much all newer movies, or like ones we already knew were going to come out this time. So let's get into it. This year we decided to do no crossover. So there will be ones on like your list that I am excited for and my list that you're excited for. But we wanted to give a more diverse list because, you know, there's tons of movies coming out. We don't need to be taking the same ones. So what is on your list here that you're excited for?
Okay, I've got quite a few things. The movie that I'm most excited for, which comes at no surprise, is Knives Out 2. We don't know when it's coming. We don't know what it's going to be titled. I am expecting in the next month we'll get first look photos.
Yeah.
And like one of those teasers, you know, that's not a real teaser, but it's just like the title comes up on the screen.
But we'll get excited for it anyway. You know,
I'll be stoked. I'll tweet about it in all caps. I can't wait. I'm also really excited for Spider-Verse 2, the Batman, obviously. Mm-hmm. The unbearable weight of massive talent, which is the Nicolas Cage movie.
That one's going to be interesting.
It's going to be so... I don't know. It looks very chaotic, but I'm excited for it either way because it seems like it'll be a fun time regardless. Mm. We're supposedly getting Legally Blonde 3 this year, which is the reunion movie, whatever it's going to be, I don't know, but I'm excited for that whenever it happens. Mm. Nope, which is the new Jordan Peele movie. Don't know anything about it, except that I love everyone who's in it, so it'll probably be good.
It's an exciting movie. I can't wait for that one.
And then Bros, which I'm ready to make that movie my whole personality. It's the new Billy Eichner movie. It is the first gay romantic comedy from a major studio. And it's also the first, like, movie to have an all LGBTQ cast. So all of the main, like, heterosexual roles that are in it, too, even though it is, like, a gay rom-com, are played by openly LGBTQ people, which I think is really, really awesome. So I'm very excited about that movie. And then I'm excited about Don't Worry, Darling, of course, which will be one of the biggest movies of next year. We don't need to talk about it, but
no,
it's on the list.
There's too much to talk about.
See it. I'm excited. I'm really excited for Wendell and Wild, which is the new Henry Selick stop motion. And Jordan Peele is co-writing it as well with Selick, and I think there was another co-writer, but he's a producer on it, which I think is very exciting. We haven't had a movie from Henry Selick since Coraline, I don't think, so I'm very excited about that one. And then My Father's Dragon, which is based on a children's novel, an old children's novel that I absolutely love. And I've thought for a while that it should be made into, like, a cool movie. And it is. It's being made into an animated feature by the studio that did Wolfwalkers. So I know it's not going to be some stupid, you know, like all those Netflix originals that are, like, really kind of crummy animation that just feels cheaper.
Over the Moon.
Yeah, I was going to say Wish Dragon, but Over the Moon I feel like is a little bit better than... And some of those other ones.
Over the Moon is pretty trash. Not gonna lie. Sorry to any Over the Moon stands listening.
I didn't like Over the Moon that much, but so I'm because I didn't dislike Wolfwalkers, but I loved the animation in it. Like, I just think it's really creative, and this movie suits that style perfectly. Like, very artistic, so I'm excited for that. Like, so excited. And then Hocus Pocus 2. Is going to be amazing. I'm going to make us do an episode on that probably in October when it comes out. And then at the end of the year, if it comes this year, this is up in the air. It's supposed to hit at the end of the year, like December. And that's Disney's Strange World, which is an animated feature that they're going to be making, which they've said kind of is a combination of like Tomorrowland and Atlantis. I think there's good things to come from that one. And that is my list.
Wow. Lots of fun stuff. I'm excited for a lot of those too. That's a good list there. Mine here. My first one, I don't really know how you pronounce this. I think it's like Kimi or Kimmy. This is just the next Steven Soderbergh movie coming on HBO Max, which I'll always watch. I'll always watch them, even if, you know, it's always a toss-up how they're going to be. Last year's No Sudden Move, not my favorite, but Let Them All Talk, great movie. So we'll see how I feel about this one. The next one is Blonde, which I think, like, we thought this was going to come out last year, and then there was all that controversy with the rating stuff. And I really don't know what's going on with it, but I am assuming it's coming out this year at this point. And this is just going to be a very interesting movie.
Yeah, that's the Marilyn Monroe one.
Yeah, like on paper, it could be very Oscar baity, but I don't think it will be, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see like how many people check it out and are like, this is what I was expecting. Probably like Spencer. It's going to be a similar thing. The next one is The Northman, which again, I had on
carried
last year's
list.
Carried it over. This movie looks so good. I love Robert Eggers supporting New Hampshire out there. Both of his movies have been really good. And then this one looks, the trailer looks so good. The next movie here is Pinocchio. This is the Del Toro version because there is a Disney Pinocchio coming out next year, which not great. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe they're going to delay this because that doesn't seem like a great release strategy to also release two Pinocchio movies in a year. But if this comes out next year, I'll be very excited. I think too, because Nightmare Alley, the first half is all the carnival stuff. And Pinocchio is a lot of carnivals, a lot of carnival vibes going on in Pinocchio. So I think he could really lean into what I loved about Nightmare Alley in this one. So hopefully I like that one. Next kind of is Babylon, because this is the new Damien Chazelle movie and it is premiering on December 25th, but it's going wide in January 2023. So like it is technically next year, but it's also not. But I just wanted to put it on here because this is definitely my most anticipated release on the list. Very excited. It's basically just like going back to Hollywood, you know. He went to space. He did a space thing, but it's been a while since First Man. It's been like 4 or 5 years almost.
That was 2018.
But this, it's got Margot Robbie, Brad Pitt, Emma Stone's coming back, Samara Weaving, Tobey Maguire making another return, Meryl Streep. This is going to be a great, great movie. I'm so excited. Two here, blockbusters, Thor Love and Thunder.
Amazing.
Very interested to see what's happening with this one. A lot of weird stuff. Remember like all the set photos that came out? Those were just so funny. Disney definitely was so mad. I would have loved to be in those meetings. I'm excited for this one. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be somewhat involved, obviously. And even though Thor Ragnarok is not my favorite, I still really appreciate what it did for the MCU. And I'm interested to see like now, I'm assuming they're going to give Taika more rein on this one. It looks like anyway from everything. And so I'm interested to see what happens. Avatar 2, which is funny because I haven't even seen the first Avatar. Not going to lie,
what?
I haven't seen it. But this has been delayed like, what, 5 years? It's like, how many delays has this movie had?
I don't even know. Like, too many to count.
This could be, who knows how this movie is going
to
be.
Could be the worst movie basically to come out that we've all been waiting for, but you never know.
It's going to be interesting. I can't wait.
Maybe we'll do an episode on it.
We should. I think it'll be big enough. And we can talk about how I have my first impressions of the first Avatar, you know?
I have a good story about the movie.
Okay. So we got some content in the works then for that one. And then I also have The Fablemans here, which is going to be the new Steven Spielberg movie. Because, like, obviously he just did West Side Story, but that was supposed to come out 2020. So he's been working on this one. And this is like, kind of like how everyone's now, like with Belfast, doing their version of Roma. This is going to be, I think, Steven Spielberg's version of Roma.
Yeah.
Where, like, he goes to his childhood and is like, this is my childhood memoir, but in a movie. Which, you know, I like to see Steven Spielberg's childhood.
It's time.
Yeah, and I think, like, especially even West Side Story, obviously, is a very big production. Ready Player One, very big. I think it's going to be interesting to see him go back to a smaller scale drama. And this is also the first movie since AI that he's taken a writing credit on. So
wow, that's
pretty cool.
Good for him.
He's going back to the pen and paper. And then I also have just a couple I'll rattle off here that are undated. Who knows if they're coming out next year, but we can only hope. So we have Asteroid City, the Wes Anderson movie. Disappointment Boulevard, which is the Ari Aster movie. Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese. The Killer, which is David Fincher. White Noise, which is Noah Baumbach. And then Armageddon Time, which is the James Gray movie, which I think James Gray makes pretty good movies. And this is also going to be like his Belfast or Roma, I guess.
So all our favorite white boys.
All making movies, potentially.
Making movies, hopefully this year. We'll see.
2022. So a lot of good stuff coming out this year. Probably more than I was excited for last year, I would think.
Yeah. Well, last year was so up in the air. Like, we had no idea if anything was even going to be releasing, basically. So.
Right. And, you know, we're still, I think, maybe back to the up in the air feeling, but I'd like to think that some of these will be able to see.
You know what's crazy about Knives Out 2? Sorry, my brain is on that still. Okay. It's going to be coming out on Netflix.
Right.
So I will be able to just, like, rewatch it over and over and over when it first comes out.
You will.
Instead of finish it and then start it again. Because I did see it a couple times in the theaters, but I had to, you know, take the trip to the theater. But this time I can just boop, boop, boop. Wow.
Yeah, I assume they're going to put it in the theater. I'm assuming they're going to give it a theater release.
Yeah.
But I'm also assuming it will not be anywhere near me.
I think it's going to be a summer movie. That's my prediction. We'll see if I'm right next year.
Well, from the few set photos, it does look like it was a summer
vibe. Like, we know that it is set in Greece for part of the film.
Right.
So I think it's going to be maybe like July, August, I think is when it's going to come out, which would fit the timeline of getting first look pictures in the next month and then a trailer. Could you imagine if I got a trailer for my birthday?
Wow.
If like February rolled around. And then
your birthday's in February. I'm stupid.
For your birthday. If we got the trailer for my birthday and we got the release for your birthday, that would be crazy. That would be the best thing ever.
Ryan Johnson, please. We are asking nicely.
Hey, bestie.
Hey.
Knives Out 2 trailer.
Just wondering when the release is. Set photos, please. So the last thing we like to do in these episodes is just go over some of our 2022 podcast goals. Because we have a couple things that we want to make sure we get to or we do in this new year. Last year, I think we did a good job of covering a lot of newer movies. I think especially because like it'd been a while since we had gotten a lot of those bigger releases. So I think that was good. But in this new year, I think what we want to try to do is less reviews overall of new movies, like only reviewing what we really want to talk about. And also combining reviews with other things. So like even last episode we did Hawkeye plus our ranked of Disney Plus series, you know? And so trying to do that, because I think it both like gets more content in there. It also forces us to be more concise with our thoughts because we know we have like another segment we have to do. So I think that'll be good for everyone. So that is one thing that we want to do.
So we have a couple series that we're going to keep up. It's funny because last year at this time, we had announced our cinema swap. But we didn't have a name for it. And we did a couple of those this past year. And then we also added the series during the year Childhood Classics. So our four series that we have that we will be continuing this year are Childhood Classics, Cinema Swap, We've Never Seen, in Triple Feature. So we don't really have like a set schedule for those, but we try to do each of them a couple times throughout the year. So those are some things you can expect from us. And then last year we did, which we said in our episode last year, was that we were going to do a summer of Star Wars. And we did
it. And we did more than we said we would. We did five episodes.
We did. And it was a lot. And it was so exhausting that we decided to do it again this summer.
Not with Star Wars, though. I'm not, not with Star Wars. Star Wars.
So do you want to announce what we're doing this summer?
Yes, I'm very excited for this one. This summer, we are going to be doing the Summer of Wes Anderson, where we go through the filmography of one of our favorite directors, talk mm-hmm. about all the movies, because, you know, we talk about Wes Anderson a lot, but we really haven't talked about many of his movies besides Fantastic Mr. Fox, Moonrise Kingdom, and then we also talked about French Dispatch, obviously.
Yeah.
So we can get into all of them with this. And I'm also excited to get a fresher ranking, because whenever you're like updating rankings, it's hard at some point to be like, I just watched this one, but I haven't seen this one in a while. So is this one better? So get a fresh ranking of his movies, and then we can share those at the end of the series.
So
this should be
fun. We haven't scheduled it all out, so it'll maybe start in like May or June, and it'll be like an episode each month through the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
Where each one will probably have a guest on, and then we'll talk about, you know, a select couple of the movies.
Yeah, probably go chronological is what I'm thinking. So we can see see the transition through. We'll figure out exactly where the best stopping points are. That still is to come, but I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We both love Wes Anderson. He's like basically your favorite, or one of your top two at least.
Mm-hmm. And I think very important to both of us, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, his movies were, Moonrise Kingdom especially, was what really started getting me into film. I'm excited for that. He's in my top five directors.
Yeah, that's
going to
be good. It's going to be a good one.
Wow.
Good things to come this year. Good episodes, good movies, hopefully good vibes. So our question of the week this week then is, what movie from 2022 are you most looking forward to? So they can be any of the ones we talked about, or maybe one we didn't cover.
There's a lot.
Who knows?
There's a big list.
There is a lot. Maybe you're really excited for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, or for
Lightyear.
Yeah, I like when we thought about Lightyear. We both have no Pixar movies on our list we talked about.
I did get some other franchise, you know, and other Disney.
Yeah.
We both had some Disney on there.
We like to spread the wealth. We don't want to, I mean, and also like Pixar, I'm not super excited for their movies this year, so we'll see. We'll see how they turn out.
Yeah, well, and next week's episode.
Yes.
Assuming we can watch all the movies in time. Is talking about Scream 5, the new Scream, which is coming out, and reviewing that, and then ranking Scream 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
What if it was like 1, 2, 4, and 5? Like, we're just not,
we're not covering Scream 3.
1, 4, and 3, I think we're ranking.
Yeah.
It's interesting. This is like the first big release of the year, which is not always great for movies, because this is like when they dump the movies that they're not, they think are not going to do well. So could be bad. Who knows? But tune in next week and find out if Scream 5 made us laugh or scream. That was bad. I don't know. anything else to say before we wrap?
No.
Follow us on our socials. On our podcast, on social media. Check out our website. Leave a review if you can. There's reviews on Spotify now. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts,
give us 5 stars.
Give us a 5-star review. Share us with your friends. Share the blog post with your friends, maybe, if you think they'd like
and,
it. A lot of things.
You know, it's the start of the year, so if there's a movie that you want us to consider covering this year, whether it's an old one or a new one, or an idea you have, feel free to message our podcast account or email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com, and we will take it into consideration.
We will. We will put it into our brains and through the consideration machine that we have.
Yes.
All right. So now, anything else before we wrap this up?
I have nothing else.
All right. Until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're your
secondhand
film critics.